Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. We're focused almost exclusively on the shooting in Las Vegas, Nevada, that took place late last night during a Jason Aldean concert. The president spoke a few moments ago, calling the Las Vegas shooting an act of pure evil. We welcome this morning Rick Matthews, who is a public service professor in the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity in Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy at the University at Albany. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Professor Matthews to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate your timing.
Happy to be here.
When you look at something like this, and given your expertise in homeland security and just preparedness for something, it seems when you look at what we know right now of 22,000 plus people standing in a field and someone from a 32nd floor window from quite a distance away opens fire, you wonder how in the name of God you could have prevented something like that unless there was something going on in the hotel to prevent somebody from bringing that kind of armament to their hotel room.
Well, you're right. I mean, one of the worst scenarios we have is what we just saw, which is an open air situation, which is very difficult to protect against. You have all the police officers you want in and around the concert goers, but this guy was, 1,200 feet away or so, shooting at a downward angle. And you're right. You know, the only way to prevent that really is to have to stop the weapons from getting into that particular building in the first place, and or to have needs for counter snipers. But again, that becomes very difficult to do every time we have an outdoor situation.
When it comes to the actual act itself, do we look at that as, I mean, obviously that it falls under Homeland Security, I assume. Is that an act of terror? We look at it as something that we would think of as terror. My understanding, though, that the clinical definition, if you will, is that it must have a social or political message behind it. So what do we look at this particular act as when you have 50 people killed and over 400 injured?
Well, you know, you're correct. The president said the right word. It's an act of evil. We all agree on that term. But when it comes to terrorism, the terrorism itself is a legally defined term. A lot of people use that term to mean a lot of different things. But in the context of this, there has to be a legal definition. And a key part of that, in addition to the unlawful use of violence, is in fact that the motive. Was it intended to either intimidate or coerce a government or the public as a whole among some sort of a social or political or governmental type environment? And that's the key thing to make the definition different. That also hinges typically on whether or not it becomes a state prosecuted will offense or a federally investigated and prosecuted offense. In this case, we know that reportedly there's a report out that said ISIS might have claimed this, but it's going to be important for them to make sure, law enforcement, make sure that is in fact valid before they actually assign that term to it. So at this moment, it's still open. And basically, the violence itself is what it is. The difference is simply among the legal definition and how the investigation, the prosecution, if there would be one, would continue on from there.
As far as that idea of a federal, because right now federal authorities are overseeing this, or they are in charge of this investigation?
They're actually assisting, and they assist if it's non-terrorism, they're going to be assisting. If in fact they believe that, in fact, this could be possibly terrorism, and that comes down to the people on the ground and law enforcement folks and those kind of people. When they make that determination, if it could be, then the investigation lead would, by policy, switch to the FBI. If it's not terrorism or not thought to be possibly being terrorism, then it would still remain a state investigation, and the federal agencies would typically assist them.
So allow me to state the obvious, which is that we do know that this is the deadliest shooting, mass shooting in this country's history. And we also know that this scenario has become all too common. I'm trying to find some scrap of good news here, and I'm asking you the question, if through the multitude of these events, do we learn each time something else that helps us in the overall control and hopefully deterring of such events in the future?
Well, I think we do, and I think we have learned. I think that in this particular event, I mean, there was a great deal of security, evidently, on the ground, in among the area, and so forth, which is good. And that's one of the things that we've learned from the past. It's difficult to defend against a sniper from a very elevated platform like we have there. We just don't have a good defense for that at this time. But the one bit of really good news, if there is one here, in my opinion, was the response. The response to this, I think, was, from everything I can see, almost textbook. I mean, both from the law enforcement response, rapidly being on the scene, taking control, helping to manage the scene the best they can, and then the medical response was incredible. And again, the real heroes, again, also were the people themselves. And I think that's the other part of what has happened over since we've had our experiences, that people begin to adjust and learn from that, and knowing that we have to get cover if we're being shot at. We know we have to tend to other people, and we know we have to help folks. And it's heartwarming to see that happen. And that's something, again, we've learned, I think, from past, and that's a lesson from here that I think that is positive.
The actual, when you think of that type of, we still don't know what happened. We don't know what the we have early reports of 8 to 10 weapons in the hotel room. We know that the suspect was dead upon the arrival of those authorities to his room. But at what point in your expertise of Homeland Security does this issue of gun control and our gun laws figure into the discussion? Obviously a very politically charged topic, but I'm interested in when it comes to the actual mechanics of our response to such events and what we know of how we take into account how people can get guns and what guns they can get?
You know, it's a great question. It's not one that anybody's going to be able to answer in any short period of time, or probably should we. I think that we have on balance, as we do in all these kinds of situations, a balance between our rights and freedoms as Americans and our need for and desire for security. And I think that's a balance that we've had arguably since this country was founded. And it's true. If you look in Nevada, it's got one of the, if you will, most liberal gun laws there is, allowing a lot of things, even the ownership of automatic weapons. And clearly, the individual was able to procure weapons and move them at will into the hotel room. If we you know, pass laws and pass regulations and so forth that make it much more difficult to do that, in most people's minds, that would make it more likely to reduce these kind of events. And it probably could. If we look, however, though, at people who are hard-bent on causing violence, looking at hardcore criminals, my experience has been that hardcore criminals aren't going to obey the law regardless of what it is. Laws do, though, prevent, if you are, help mitigate others who typically are not criminals from obtaining those weapons and using them. So it's going to be a debate. It's going to be a long one, I think, on again. I think it's going to be a very animated one, and we'll have to wait and see how this one turns out.
So the discussion we've had this morning and the discussion that I have seen online is that we talk about a tipping point in this country of our concern over guns and gun violence. And I keep hearing this, especially from people on the left who are calling for stronger gun control, who say, look, if Sandy Hook didn't do it, if Sandy Hook wasn't the tipping point for us to enact much stronger gun laws in this country, then what the hell will be? I'm curious as to what you make of that, but also does the sheer number, the fact that we're only a year plus away from the last mass shooting, which was then the deadliest shooting in this country at the Pulse nightclub with 49 people dead, as the body count raises, could that possibly become a tipping point?
You know, in society, any number of things can cause us to want to rethink our lives, our conditions, how we live our lives, rethink the Constitution, perhaps. And again, that's why it's these things always get very animated, these discussions, and that'll happen again here. I think that one thing to keep in mind is that we look at gun violence, and yes, it's been bad, and yes, this is evil. But we also have to realize that I use the term active violence. We hear active shooter all the time, and this clearly was that. But active violence, and we've seen of late people using knives. We've seen them using blunt instruments, and see them using vehicles. None of those are guns. None of those would be affected by gun laws, and yet they are very, very deadly weapons that have been used by violence-motivated individuals. And I think we have to keep watching that, too. You have England, where you have Great Britain, you have very, very stringent gun laws, and yet we still see these acts of violence going on there, too. So, yeah, I think we'll have that discussion, and yes, it could mitigate some of it. But again, remembering that bad people are going to try to do bad things, I think, regardless of the laws that we have, we've got to keep that in mind as well.
Rick Matthews is a public service professor of the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity, the Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy at the University at Albany. Professor Matthews, I thank you very much for taking time out of your day to speak with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you.